Behold, now is the acceptable time, for he hath given his angels charge of thee, he who suffered under Pontius Pilate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Why did the Holy Ghost drive Jesus after his baptism out into the desert, St. Mark says? Why to fast, to be tempted, and for 40 days? You see, he had received from St. John the Baptist the baptism of repentance as our representative there in the Jordan. And now in the desert comes the time of his preparation for what? For his death of reparation. How is he prepared, if not in watchings, in fastings, in tribulation, and in temptations? External, but still the filth of it, for the evil one to draw so nigh to the Son of God. Temptations to which Adam and Jacob had succumbed, our Lord overcomes. Thus is he prepared for that full, complete, and perfect work of our redemption on Calvary. But reparation itself, you see, for you and for me, is a preparation for Lent and for life and for eternal life. Afterwards, the angels came and ministered unto him. I thought this church's Angel Sunday, we should see what most people don't know. That is to say, how that an angel, perhaps it was Michael, the angel of peace, the guardian angel of Portugal, prepared a year in advance the three children to see Our Lady at Fatima in order to that they might be real messengers of peace, heaven's peace plan by reparation to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And all the more so because it is this early spring day, exactly 100 years that the angel came in 1916. So before Fatima itself, there was a prequel, as people would say today, or actually a prequel. Angels coming, showing themselves sort of off and on, and then coming to take charge of the children to prepare them. They were prepared by catechism, by example, by instruction, by prayer, the teaching about the Blessed Sacrament, and the importance of suffering and offering up. But first, at least once, there was a kind of an angelic flyover. You know, that's very common in the lives of the saints who have visions. St. Catherine Laboure, she had that. And even the Jew, Alphonse Ratisbon, had a series of disturbing dreams that he saw before he saw Our Lady. So more than once, Lucy saw a sort of a cloud, white, more transparent than snow, but very, very white, in a human form that sort of advanced and then departed again, leaving an impression of alarm, she wrote later, she remembered, bewilderment, but joy. The first time, she was with three of her girlfriends, and they were in the backyard by the well, and the cousins weren't with her. But one day, in spring of 1916, she was with Jacinta and Francisco, and they were at her godfather's property at his Garden of Olives. It had started to rain. They climbed a little hill and took shelter under a rock. They had their lunch, and then they said their rosary. Remember back then? they were doing their special rosary, which was just to say Hail Mary on each bead, and then and just the first two words. Later on, someone clued them in that wasn't how to pray the rosary. And then the sun came out, and suddenly a wind shook the trees, and they looked up, and they saw over in the distance from the east a light whiter than snow in the form of a young man. How old was he? He was 14, the same age as Our Lady at the Annunciation. He was a teenager. Teens, what are you doing with your life? He was 14. What an honor. And the children just stared at him because of this crystal, resplendent, the rays of the sun. They were just trying to figure out his features, but they couldn't say anything. So the angel says, angels always have to say this first. Fear not. And then, I am the angel of peace. Pray with me. And then he goes down on the ground, he prostrates. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. He repeats this, as we're meant to, three times. And then he got up, and the young angel said, pray this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are listening to the voice of your prayer. And then he disappears. And Lucy wrote later, much later, that the impression on them was so profound that they didn't say a word. They were on the ground saying this prayer over and over again for hours. A bit like Tobias and Tobias Jr. after they realized they had seen an archangel. And even amongst themselves, they didn't talk about it. Not at the beginning at all. After a while, they were children. The impression wore off, and they entertained themselves by singing and dancing. They started to sing and to dance as well as to play games, but they kind of stayed away, the cousins did, from other children now. They were together. Well, summer came, and the flocks were taken out early for the evening, and during the heat of the day, the children played or rested in the backyard, they had the free time then, at the well in the garden. The angel comes a second time. What are you doing? The angel says, catching the children at play. Pray. Pray very much. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have a plan of mercy for you. Pray all the time. Offer sacrifices to the Most High. Lucy says, how are we supposed to sacrifice? Every way you can, responds the angel. Offer a sacrifice to the Lord as an act of reparation for sins, whereby he's offended, and for the conversion of sinners. This is how you will draw down peace for your country. I am the angel who guards it. I am the angel of Portugal. Above all, accept and bear with submission the sufferings the Lord is sending you. Francisco, meanwhile, was out of the loop. He saw the angel, but didn't hear any words, and he wanted to know. And Lucy puts him off because, the first day she can't say anything about it. And then later on she answers some questions, but she cuts him off at a certain point. Because she says, my spirit was not free yet. And so then he goes to see Jacinta, Francisco does, and she says, keep quiet. You're not supposed to talk about these kinds of things. And Lucy writes that they all had this kind of the same feeling when speaking about the angel. Jacinta said she had no strength to sing or to play or even to talk. Daniel had the same experience in the Old Testament. E marcoi nec quidquam virium abui. I didn't have any strength left. I was sort of drained out after one of the occasions when great Gabriel appeared to him. But Francisco summed up, he said, well, it doesn't make any difference. The angel is better than all of this. Let's just think about the angel. And so Lucy writes, the angel's words were like a light that made us understand who God is, how he loves us, and how he wishes to be loved, the value of sacrifice, how pleasing it is to him, and how we could begin to convert sinners, to offer everything to God. And so they offered their sufferings and their mortifications, usually just what they had to do, their duties. But every now and again, they tried something new. They tried eating bitter acorns once for lunch. That didn't work. And then they had ropes. They had sort of secret ropes they tied around themselves. And they sort of did that off and on. But the main idea always was the duties of their life, their state. The angel came a third time in the fall. We'll talk about that later. But what I want to emphasize, first of all, today is the difference between seeing an angel and seeing the Virgin Mary. If you see an angel, remember, you would think you were seeing God, and you would die if the angel did not dial back his glory. But their queen, such joy you would feel that you would desire to die, just so that you could have that same joy again. I don't know why, Lucy writes, but the apparition of Our Lady gave me an entirely different feeling. Well, it was the same kind of a very intimate happiness. There was peace and joy, but instead of just being prostrate on the ground, we felt free, an expansion of movement. Instead of just being annihilated in the divine presence, there was this desire to exult with joy. There was no difficulty in speaking with Our Lady. And there was a desire to speak. But still, she says, we felt the need for silence about certain things. The secret of Fatima, about which so many commentators feel no need for silence at all. It's become today, of course, a regular industry. Fatima. It's all in the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. It's all in the word of truth. It's all in the power of God. And its preparation is reparation if we have not received the grace of God in vain. Behold, now, exactly 100 years later, now is the acceptable time. But for a Christian, every day is the day of salvation. But you'll start to hear and maybe to read a lot of commentaries and speculations about what's coming for the centennial year and the end of the world and signs and the stars and all of the rest of it. But what matters is that we show ourselves as God's servants, as his ministers. How? By all of the above. St. Paul gives us a handy checklist in the epistle, or the simple question and admonition of the angel. What are you doing? Pray. Pray much. How should we sacrifice? In every way you can, offer a sacrifice to the Lord for the sins by which he is offended, and the conversion of sinners, especially by, the angel says, bearing with submission the sufferings the Lord is sending you. So, what is reparation? St. Thomas Aquinas says, it is our cooperation with Christ in his passion which makes us to be like him. He's the head, and we are his members, and we share together with him his sufferings. This is reparation. Now, it is Lent. It is the time of prayer. It is the time of preparation and of penance for this great, great work. Behold, now is the acceptable time. would you try to remember the joy as well? Those children were so happy that they just wanted to be able to go to heaven and be joyful there forever. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.